Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here. Whoever ordered the flow of the presentations did a really good job, because now I'm going to talk about obesity but in children, and also a little bit more about what can we do. We've seen all this great research, but okay, now what are our next steps? The way this is going to go is I will talk a little bit about Salute America and what we've been doing in the past, and then sort of go into our new phase, this mapping that I'll talk about, and then sort of what it means for the future and how we hope to improve it and all of that stuff. I have no relationships to disclose. And this is just a brief slide of our Salute America team. Fantastic people, and we're headed by Dr. Amelie Ramirez. And we are housed in the Institute for Health Promotion Research at the UT Health Science Center in San Antonio, but we are a national network, so our work is all over the country. So I'll start off with some stats that you guys are probably familiar with. The Latino population is growing. Today, Latino kids make up 22% of all youth, and that percentage is expected to increase to 30% by 2025. And this surge is noteworthy for many reasons, but for our purposes, 39% of Latino kids are overweight or obese compared to 32% of their peers. And I mean, 32% is a lot in general, but we know that 39% is a lot of sick kids that have the potential to be a lot of sick adults. So with those statistics, Salute America was born. And we are the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's national network to reduce Latino childhood obesity. We were first funded in 2007, and we set the first ever Latino childhood obesity priority agenda for the U.S. And we've got a network of around over 20,000 stakeholders and people who receive our e-communication, subscribe to our online blog, our social media. We have award-winning blog, a couple of YouTube videos that describe sort of how the epidemic of Latino childhood obesity has grown. And we've held a few scientific summits disseminating our research. So first, let me back up to our first 5 years when we were way more research-focused than we are today. In 2009, we funded 20 grant pilot projects across the country that were focused on three types of intervention: community, school, and family, all having to do with reducing Latino childhood obesity. And these looked like faith-based interventions, menu labeling after school programs. And out of all that research came 20 briefs where our grantees wrote about the evidence-based policies that they found out that worked. So out of those, we created three national briefs on what we thought were really big issues and areas that could be changed for the better. So that was nutrition, physical activity, and unhealthy marketing to Latino kids. We got a special supplement in the Journal of Behavioral Medicine talking about more of our findings. And really what we found is that promising culturally appropriate interventions exist, and we should explore them. So that's sort of what we wanted to do. Part of those first 5 years, we created this, the policy contribution spectrum. And originally we used it for our grantees to sort of frame the changes that they were making in communities, but it systematically identifies the critical steps needed to pass a policy. Because we all know passing policy isn't just a legislator saying yes or no. There's tons of more involved in the process, and this is a good way for people to see themselves in the process to see what they can do. So it starts out in pre-policy. That's where people are learning that a problem exists at all, and they're understanding the issues. And then you go to policy development, and that's where you're getting advocates motivated, wanting to make change. You're having discussions. You're debating what policies are better over others to address a solution. And then policy enactment, where you're enacting the change, you've gotten the support. And then post-policy, is the policy sustainable? Is it equitable? Is everyone being treated the same? And so we really think that that's a very important evidence-based way to view policy change, and it's also good because lay people and experts can understand it, and it's pretty user-friendly. So now, in 2012, we were refunded to work on empowering community change, as you might have guessed with all the advocate talk. So that brings me to our Growing Healthy Change platform, which we launched last February in 2014. And it's housed within Community Commons. I don't know if you guys are familiar with their work. They're a big GIS mapping web webpage, online thing, and they have tons of data that they use, and they have overlaid of maps. You can see tons of like health community reports, and so we wanted our map to be there because it's a good place to be. So our Growing Healthy Change features are data-infused maps, but also a bunch of tools to drive change, resources, case studies of change called Salute Hero Stories of people that have already made really great changes in their own community. And all the content that you'll see is curated by three content curators like myself who search the internet, our contacts, and find out what's happening on the ground as it relates to Latino childhood obesity. So we work in the three or six policy areas that have been identified as areas for progress to be made. So that's better food at schools, better food in neighborhoods, so like community gardens, corner store interventions, reducing sugary drink consumption and promoting water, more active playtime, so after school programs, and more places for activity, like safe routes to school, joint use agreements with community centers, that sort of thing, and healthier marketing, because we know that's a really big issue right now. So one of our most distinct features is our policy map, and that's what I'm going to mostly talk about today. What you see here is where you'll go if you clicked on map, and you'll see it's overlaid with a bunch of data. And so what someone would do is they could type in New York City and see all of the policies that are in progress, not just, you know, city level, but like a church trying to start a walking group or whatever. They'll be there overlaid, and you can see them and sort them by city, school district, county, and state and national. Those purple dots that you'll see there are Salute Hero Stories. So those are case studies of change that have already happened. And a lot of them have really neat videos that go along with them. And they're just really interesting and inspiring about how people can get involved in making changes in their own area. And it's also sorted by the policy topics that I mentioned before, and also policy stage. So is it in development on that spectrum? You know, is it in implementation? So let's say you search for California. It would narrow in there, and you'd see an actual map overlaid with some data there. Now, if we go further into Los Angeles, you'll see it's an actual map of LA overlaid with the data. Now, this is if all the boxes were checked. You could also uncheck and just look at city level, just look at active spaces. So it's very interactive. So if we were going to click anywhere on LA, this box would come up, and it would tell you all sorts of more data. Like here we have geographic data, so the policies that are happening in LA, how many of them are national, how many are state and city, and so you see this nice breakdown, and then below you'll see the actual policy entries that you can click on, and you'll see like a little blog post type thing that one of the curators has written with more information about what's happening there and how you could get involved. And so broken down also by policy topic, which is pretty interesting because you can see, you know, what geographic area in the U.S., in the Latino community, where are changes happening? Is it more in schools? Here in L.A., you can see active spaces is a big deal, and sugary drink changes are on the lower side. And then again, they're all listed below like that. And this is probably my favorite thing that you can sort by, policy change. So you can see in your area, where are things in develop? Are they just emerging? Here in Los Angeles, for example, there's not a lot of changes in emergence, which kind of goes to show that maybe they're already past understanding that there's a problem and people understand what's going on and they're more into actually creating change, talking with legislators or whoever, decision makers, and trying to decide what the best policies are for the community there. And again, they're all listed underneath there. And then you can also have it sorted by policy type. So is it an actual legislation? Is it an internal policy, a design manual, a plan? And this is helpful because it kind of gives you an idea of who's making changes, successful changes in an area. Is it the city government, or is it just private businesses that are doing these things? And that gives would-be advocates an idea of, okay, who do I need to talk to start making things happen? And so this is what would happen if you had clicked on one of those policies below. You've got this one, Citizens Push for Legalizing Street Vending in LA. And you've got the nice barometer of change at the top that tells you what stage it's in. And on the back end, us curators, when it does progress, we can check the next box and it will go on. Pretty nice. And then we'll have a little write-up about what's happening with a bunch of links to news stories, relevant organizations, any information we think will help somebody understand what's going on more. We try to put it in there. And then below, you'll see some regional data for whatever you're looking at. So Los Angeles, for this example, we've got adult obesity rates, and we've got population and poverty Los Angeles is the red thing. And it just helps put it in context better so you can see an area. And then below, you'll see other changes that are related. So this is a this was a food and neighborhood policy, and so you would see other food and neighborhood policies as well. All right, so we've got the map. We also have some great supporting materials, like those Salute Heroes stories that I mentioned before. And we write those up. Not only are they cool, inspirational stories, but they're also literal case studies of change because we frame them along that policy spectrum. And we interview the change makers and everybody involved, and we get, okay, how did you guys spread awareness? How did you know this was a problem? What kind of debates and struggles did you have crafting a policy? Okay, what was it like when you got it enacted? And then how are you implementing it right now and sustaining change? So they're really in-depth stories, and I would encourage you guys to go check them out. And a lot of them, like this one you'll see up there, have really dynamic videos where you've actually been able to send a media crew there to really interview the people again, and the stories are pretty neat, and people have shared them in community centers and just inspirational settings, and people seem to really identify with them. So we have the Salute Heroes stories, and we also collect resources. One of our jobs as curators is just to scour the internet and find people's toolkits, reports, anything that might be relevant to somebody wanting to make changes that's in those policy topics. We just upload it and have it free access for anybody who wants it. So we have all this stuff. How do we let people know about it, right? Just kind of sitting there. But we're very active on Twitter and in social media. What we do whenever there's a new policy that we write, we always tweet it out with a link and a catchy title, so we hope that people will click on it, learn more, browse around, and learn more about changes that are happening. We also have a suggest a policy feature. People don't use it as often as we would like. That's something that we're trying to figure out, how we can get people to tell us what's going on around them, right? Because we can only know so much. So working on that to make that more robust. So what's next? Well, one thing we're exploring right now is getting health indicator reports to show up along with not only the policies that we put in place on the map, also other data, so you could put it even into better context. Like this is grocery store access, and Community Commons has access to this data, so we've been working with them to see how we can incorporate that stuff on our map too to make it even more user-friendly. And we're also trying to do a lot of analytics and ongoing evaluation. You know, how are people using our content? Are they using it? That's something that will inform how we move forward, of course. And then, of course, continuing to empower advocates, because that's really what we're trying to do right now. And we just want to do that better because we know that there are these great solutions to Latino childhood obesity and overweight and just healthy living in general. And so we think people need to know about them and try them out. So that's about it for me. I encourage you guys, if you know of any stories in your area, great community changes, let us know. We'd love to write about them, and definitely check us out on social media and play around with the map. It's a pretty cool thing. Thank you.